DJ Johnny Cage is synonymous with El Paso, and lately he's been taking us back to the Juarez days with his live DJ sets on Facebook. I've tuned in the past 2 weekends, and it's amazing to see what a show he's got going on. It's literally in his kitchen. Today, my guest is DJ Johnny Cage. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Marino? Thank you for having me.
I tuned in, and I was like, there's 9,000 people. That's more people than have ever been in the club at the same time, by the way.
You know, yeah, I was surprised and overwhelmed at such a great response and positive response when I started throwing these. It was really, really fun.
What made you, like, what were you like, okay, I'm going to do this? Or did somebody ask? Or
no, you know, it's just that I know that a lot of people during these times right now are going through a lot of stress and anxiety. And if anything music does, is it actually relieves that. I know that for myself, I suffer from real bad anxiety. And anytime that I do that, I just go into my studio and I'll put my headphones on and get lost in music. I'll listen to old stuff, new stuff, classical stuff. I mean, I'm a fan of all genres of music. So I'll do that. And I was like, you know what, man, maybe this will help someone out there just relive some good old memories and maybe get them out of the funk that we're all in right now. And it did just that.
No, it's doing it. And then you and your wife are freaking hilarious.
You know what's funny is that I get asked that a lot. They're like, are you guys acting? I'm like, no, we're really just two clowns. What you see is what you get. You know, we're always looking. I think that's what's made this marriage work for 15 years, really, because we just always have fun. You know, we were both kids at heart.
So you literally bring out your whole setup. It's in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you just have a party. I mean, from your point of view, it's just the two of you, but the rest of us, like on Facebook, you see everybody interacting. There's all these conversations and people inviting each other. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. My thing is to keep everyone safe because I know right now, unfortunately, our numbers are still rising and they're going to keep on rising. So my thing was like, well, how can I get people to stay home and maybe, you know, be entertained? That was one of my biggest goals, is that I want to do my part for my city as well, because I want us to all be safe and I want us to all be better. So I was like, hey, maybe if I did something cool like this, more people would just chill at home on a Saturday night than trying to think about, hey, maybe we should go do a little kickback with some friends or go get together. So, I mean, that was also a big driving purpose behind it, too, is I want people to stay safe, stay inside.
Now, let's talk about those Juarez nights, because you and I know what's up because we grew up here and we know what's happening. But I think a lot of folks, I mean, at this point, there's several generations that haven't grown up going to Juarez. So take us back. I mean, explain it. You're talking to someone who has no idea what it's like to have grown up on the border in the 90s.
Juarez, I mean, it was all known when we were teenagers. I'm not condoning this in any way. I'm just saying this is how it was back
then. It's how it was. I was there with you.
I mean, I was 14 years old sneaking into clubs, but I was, of course, touched with the music. I loved the dance scene over there because it was so European. It had that European vibe. And it also had the retro vibe. They were notorious for playing 80s and freestyle and cutting edge stuff. I mean, they were playing, I mean, it was really a big party. So I would go listen to the DJs. But in Mexico, you can drink at 18 years old. It's just like a nonstop party. It's like, the way I could describe it back in the day, it was like a Vegas on steroids, basically.
Yeah, but for like really, really young people that probably shouldn't be at the club, but there we were.
You know, yeah, it's true. It was a lot of the teenagers. I mean, we did ditch parties. If you're old enough, you'll remember that Juarez, Mexico, it was 24 hours. It was like Vegas. And I'm talking about the clubs. I mean, mm-hmm. I used to DJ. Sometimes I'd finish my shift at 8 in the morning, and then I'd have to go do what we call a tardeada. So, I mean, that was always like, it was crazy. It was nonstop. And now I know why I can't sleep.
Right. All those years of practice. How did you start DJing in Juarez way back when? How did you get into that scene?
I was a teenager. I was, what's funny is I was a young teen. I was about to be, I was 17, and I was DJing. I just did a guest spot one night at a teen club. So it happened that the teen club that was owned by one of the owners in Mexico, which was the late Willy Moya, one of his guys heard and said, hey, why don't you come, you know, spin over here? We like the way you play. It was a little bit different because back in those days, it was a lot of the Latin house and a lot of the rock and español and pop. And I was playing more house music and more dance music. And it was kind of like the American style that was about to hit. Yeah. And they took me to Vertigo's. It was on a Wednesday. The boss told me, you know what? If you can make these people dance, you got the job. There was 25 people in the club and I had to make them dance. And I was nervous as heck. And finally, I was like, okay, you know, I played some records and first two songs didn't do too well.
They're
then by the third one, I had a couple of people dancing and he liked it. And he was like, okay, you're hired. I was thinking just one night. And he's like, okay, I want you here Wednesday through Sunday. You know, what's funny is I didn't ask for pay or nothing. I was just so happy to be DJing somewhere.
You're like, it's on. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And then Vertigo was definitely like one of the places to be back then.
The reason I built my name was bringing a lot of the Americans to Vertigo's. We used to do a Thursday night college night with myself and Laura Rayborn, who she hosts Miss El Paso pageants. Mm-hmm. And she does a lot of other stuff here in El Paso. You know, I would be DJing and she would be, you know, hosting the contests. And I can honestly say I was probably one of the first DJs out there to, you know, to incorporate different styles over there as far as, you know, bringing hip hop, because it was real taboo to play hip hop. So I would even drop some of that. And I remember the owners looking at me like, is this going to work? What is this? What is this? Because they were so used to the Spanish dance. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was just a party. And that's what was a beautiful thing about Juarez, is that it wasn't about who was wearing Gucci, who was wearing Louis.
It was none of that.
No, there was no bottle service. There was nothing like that. It was just people going to have fun, dancing, meeting new people, and just living life to the fullest.
And how long, like, I mean, if you think about the art, because like you were there for, I mean, definitely when it was at its height. But at some point, it just kind of fizzled out. And I mean, there's the violence and all that. But the scene-wise, I think it just kind of changed, no?
Yeah. It went more underground because it was real mainstream. And then it got real, like, that was a place to be. I mean, everyone had their routines to do. It was hot. And then it started dying down, unfortunately, when Juarez started getting a little bit bad with the violence. A lot of Americans, of course, stopped going. I stopped DJing at Vertigo's in 2001, and then I was out of Juarez completely in 2003. My last place that I spun there was, I was doing regular nights at the old Copacabana in Previs. These were places that the capacity was about 2,000 people, and we'd fill the places up every weekend. You know,
it wasn't
uncommon to go on a Wednesday night and it'd be packed. I mean, that's how much of a party it was.
Bringing us to today, you're just going for it. What's that like for you, like doing that at home and like knowing that you're making an impact for the rest of us?
It's crazy because, you know, I have a lot of love for the music. I've always been, you know, everyone's asking me, how have you been doing this? I've been DJing since I was 13. I'm 43 now. I've been on radio here in the city for a while now. I've done so many events and everything. I mean, and it's crazy. I always tell people it's because it's for the love of music. It's the passion of music. It's what drives me. I get asked, you don't know how many DJs will hit me up. They're like, hey, man, hook me up with that folder of all your Juarez stuff. And I don't share music. I got to hunt for my music. So do you. That stuff, it brings back memories. That's the beauty of the music. It's like, if you see the live stream, people are sharing stories of like, oh my God, I met my husband here. Or, oh my God, I met my ex here. You know, that you know, you ruined my life. Or, you know, you're the funny stories. And you're just like, wow, you know, it's crazy. And believe it or not, after the broadcast, because we're hitting, I believe we're like at 150,000 views.
You're getting a ton of people. I mean, it's nuts when you see a live and it's like, wow.
And believe it or not, I'll go back and I'll read the comments and I'll laugh and, you know, I see my friends that are trying to write to me. And of course, I can't respond to them right then and there, but I'll write to them on the side. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember that story. And that's the beauty of it. It's the nostalgia. It takes you back to your younger years.
And you know, you're talking about the music. You're right. It's like all these weird tracks that we know because we grew up listening to it there, but I couldn't tell you who sings what or an artist.
Yeah, that was the beauty of it. It was a lot of, back then it was underground. It was like the DJs knew the music. The DJs, now a lot of kids nowadays know a lot of the newer music because of Spotify and everything. They're getting it before us, but before the DJs. But back in the day, it was us. We'd go to the vinyl store, you know, carrying vinyl. I used to take like 5 or 6 crates of records to play. I would literally start at 10 p.m. at night. I'd have an hour break. And then sometimes I'd finish, like I told you, about, you know, 7:30 in the morning, 8 in the morning.
And just keep going.
Many times watching the sun come up on the bridge and just being with the sun up on the bridge. It was crazy.
Now let's talk about those gems. Think about like a record that you just feel like I brought this to the scene. I brought this to the time. What's one of those records or one of those tracks that you know that you love to play and that you feel like I found this little nugget?
Well, off the top of my head, I know that, I mean, it had been played there before, but I know it was a big anthem back then. It was the DJ Darrow, the Rave Stomp. That's a notorious song there. A lot of the Hard House. I was probably, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I was one of the first ones to bring it to Juarez, Mexico. I was really changed that kind of scene because it was real poppy, real rock in Espanol, a little bit of Latin house.
Yeah.
So I brought a little bit more of the Chicago house style flavor, but yeah, definitely the Rave Stomp. I would definitely say stuff like DJ Tragic, La Raza. A lot of the stuff, I used to work for a label called UC Music out of Chicago. So I actually have a CD recorded with them. A lot of the records that you would hear in Juarez were from that record label. So it was fun to break a lot of that stuff.
It's so cool. And I mean, I can't thank you enough. I take it you'll be on Facebook Live again tonight?
More than likely. Yeah, you can count it. I get a lot of people asking me now, you know, and then now it's, you know, I'm starting to get a lot of businesses, you know, raising eyebrows like, wait a minute, you're pulling 9,800 people watching you do what? And I'm like DJing. And they're like, how can you do this? And now it's, I do this for the love and the fun, but I also see the business aspect like any influencer possibly would. I mean, you got people everywhere, makeup tutorials and this and that. And I'm just like, I just like to have fun, you know? I let the music speak for itself. And I think that's what's important to stay relevant in this business.
Well, and it's definitely what we need right now. And we thank you, me and all the hundreds of thousands of people tuned in.
Oh, no, don't thank me. It's for the love. You know, I just want our city to be safe. I want all of us to get better and get over this. And one day we can say, I coped through this. And I did it with music.
Today, my guest has been DJ Johnny Cage. Odds are he's going to be on Facebook Live tonight playing you a set from Juarez. If you're not familiar with the scene, just check him out on Facebook. What are your handles or where can they see you?
No, they can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/JohnnyCage84. Just Johnny Cage if you search it. I'm all over the place there. Or you can find me on Instagram at KAGE915 as well as Snapchat.
There you have it. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Today, my guest has been DJ Johnny Cage. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.